All right, we've got three items on the agenda. First is the ordinance to restructure the EDC Commission Process Administration of the City of Franklin to create a Board of Franklin Economic Development Committee, as proposed by me. We do have item B, ordinance to amend municipal code as pertains to the composition of duties of the Economic Development Commission by Alderman Schmidt. We have item C, ordinance to repeal and recreate 10-8 of the municipal code related to the composition and purpose of the Economic Development Commission. We spoke at great length 3 weeks ago on A and B, so my suggestion would be to take a listen to item C, which was, I think, Alderman Olson's name is on that, along with Commissioner Haslow. And then we do have in the packet a proposal or some information from Citizens for Community Development, a letter from dated June 3rd from the President, Greg Kowalski. And that is not on the agenda, actually, so I'm not sure if we can actually take that matter up. Is that correct, Mr. City Attorney?
I think it's fairly placed within the subject matter on the agenda.
We could take it up?
Sure.
Okay. So I would turn over maybe to Alderman Olson, your proposal. We talked about the first two at great length, and maybe we'll hear what you have to say.
Thank you, Mr. President. By the way, this is not my proposal. This is a proposal of the remaining members of the Economic Development Commission, of which I'm one member. Vice Chairman Haslow indicated he would be here tonight. He's obviously concerned, so the net of this, and the Assistant City Attorney can jump in because he had a hand in this as well. The net of this, the substantive changes relate to composition with a minor word change. Oh, there's a motion to suspend the regular order and allow members of the Economic Development Commission to participate.
Second.
So motion is made, seconded to suspend regular order of business to allow the members and the staff of the Economic Development Commission to participate in this next discussion. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
If it was closed, I say the motion carries.
Council.
Are there any other members of the Economic Development Commission? I think what you just missed, and I may have missed as well, if you'd like to sit down.
Yeah, that's best.
Is that I think Alderman Taylor said that his proposal had a lot of discussion in the last meeting, probably Alderman Schmidt's. I spoke for several years on what I was proposing, so today we're going to listen to proposals from the remaining members of the Economic Development Commission, and then I believe we have a proposal from the Citizens for Community Development. Mr. Haslow.
Okay. So Joe Haslow, 9864 South 35th Street, Franklin, Wisconsin. So we know who I am. Okay. So what you have in your packet, and I'm assuming you've all read it, is a proposal on what at least the remaining members of the Economic Development Commission believe could or should be done to improve the effectiveness of the commission. Quite a bit has been said about the effectiveness of the commission, and from my standpoint, the underlying root causes of ineffectiveness are what need to be addressed. I guess what I would ask is, do you have questions on what you read? Because I don't want to go and voice over the whole thing. It kind of doesn't make sense. It's not a good use of time.
One thing I was looking at is the fact that you are looking at maintaining like a 12-member commission. I know in my proposal I had suggested reducing it to 7. Is there any particular reason why you think that the 12 is more be a more effective number?
I can talk to how we got there. So as we were talking this through and suspending normal order at the Economic Development Commission, we asked for some input of the aldermen who were in the attendance at that last commission meeting. One of the things that was brought forward was effectiveness of the commission, and that 7 feels about right. Because if you've got good, skilled members, and those members are highly committed and are willing to put in the time, you're nimble enough to get things done, and you generally wouldn't have a problem with a quorum, blah, blah, blah. At the same time, the opposing argument would be, okay, do you want to limit yourself to 7 in the event that you maybe have somebody who's got abilities without experience? So how do you grow anybody if your commission is too small? That is why we started to have a discussion about leaving the cap of membership to 12, but recognizing the reality that right now we have 3 people who came to the last meeting. There's room for good experience to come in and be effective, yet didn't want to rule out the idea of, you know, if you will, talent without experience, where there can be a bit of grooming. We can't have a lot of that, because then you lose the ability to be effective. You can't have all growth. But there is an argument for, you know, ability and willingness to participate without experience being part of membership. So that was kind of why. Other questions?
Well, I have some positive comments. I like the purpose where you're involving within the goals and guidelines on the Common Council, which is a difference in I think one of the other ones. And then I like the fact that this one has 2 aldermen rather than just 1. I think that gives a little bit more public input. I also like the marketing strategy section. I think that might be one that was in some of the other ones as well. And again, the validation of the mayor and common council for the appointments. I like that because it's not only just the mayor appointment, it's also validation of the common council and your information about how you can go about selecting people that are qualified. That was a good thing. The only thing that I did see was the last page right above section 2 where it's in item G, it's the second paragraph. The only body that is not mentioned in the recognition of confidentiality but letting other people know is the alderman in that paragraph. That was the only addition that I saw. Other than that, seems like being on the commission as long as you've been on it and knowing where the downfalls are and where the strengths are, you seem to have covered all the angles that I think that I've been considering.
Yeah, maybe not. I would tell you that it's the opinion of a small group, right, who has some experience with it. And in my case, a business person who's passionate about the city. The intent of paragraph G, by the way, was not to leave out the alderman. So the intent was, by the way, to, if we set up in the front, that there should be communication to the chairman of the committee or the designated EDC liaison and the appropriate district alderman in a timely manner, general guideline being weak. The idea was that in this section, within the body of the EDC, we would not wish to communicate confidential information such that it would compromise a deal. So that's what the second paragraph was intended to do. It wasn't to say that we wouldn't communicate with the alderman, but rather that in the body of discussion, we would have to go into closed session for something confidential. We would not want to have anything that would spoil a deal or somehow taint it. That was the intent, good or bad.
There was one more thing about the alderman. To me, it would seem in general, it would be advisable that alderman not be the chairman of the committee, because that's sort of how one person ends up with too much authority, especially if, you know, it's an automatic position and there's only one alderman on a board of commission, which is sort of why I like the concept of the 2 aldermen. And so I don't know if the idea was that would be open for the chair to have that or not. So
we did not limit this such that only appointed non-aldermanic representatives could be the chair. The idea, at least for me, is I don't think there's anything wrong personally with an alderman chairing the commission. I don't think it's necessarily wrong. It depends upon the nature of the alderman and how they handle it. From my standpoint, the the objective of somebody who's sitting in a chair position is to ensure that one gets participation, inclusiveness, and holds the committee accountable for forward action. We've had a lot of cases where we come to a meeting, nothing's done, we talk about it, we move on, we come back to the meeting, nothing's done. For someone like myself, who's action-oriented, drives me insane. Sorry?
I said I'm with you.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a reason why I'm not an elected official. My patience just isn't for it, right? I'll admit that. It's not my thing. But when it comes to volunteering for something I'm passionate about, I'll go all in and put in a lot of effort if it's going to pay off. If it's not going to pay off, forget it. So if the alderman is wired in such a way that they're going to include the committee members and they're going to hold the committee accountable, they can be just as effective, in my opinion, as someone who's an appointee who's not an alderman. The thing that I want to point out, though, is the selection criteria that were pointed out in here are not for the alderman. It is infeasible in a population of six to draw the characteristics that one would expect from a specialist appointee on a commission where you can draw from 40,000. It's not realistic. The aldermen are there to have the voice of the council to represent as an elected official and where they have expertise to bring it, but it's not the same criteria that I would consider for someone who is an appointee. It just isn't real to be able to have a small body of membership who are elected by their constituents necessarily have all the characteristics of somebody that you'd want to draw on as an appointee. You should be selective in the appointees, and for the aldermen, you should look at them for characteristics that may be different. I'm not going to point out what the alderman appointee should have as characteristics, but I did want to point out that distinction. It was not intended to be a limitation on the characteristics of the alderman.
I didn't have time to see how many people were actually aldermen and chair and on finance. The chair of finance, but that commission has three. And I didn't know how many other boards and commissions were the aldermen who actually sat in the chair position and then to contact the board of the I just wanted to see on the average how are we doing that very well. So maybe some of the aldermen here would know if they sat as a chair and they could answer that.
Alderman Olson.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I can't speak to how many other commissions have aldermen as chairman, but the way it happened on EDC was I was chairman as a citizen, then got elected as an alderman, then got reelected as the chairman. Likewise, Alderman Skronsky was a citizen, you were a citizen at the time, as a member, then was elected chairman when I stepped down, then was reelected as an alderman. So, I'm relentless. You asked a question. So I'll be real quick about this. I personally think it's very important that the members elect their chair. They know who they want to be chair, and it's their commission. So you might never hear that. Thank
you. Alderman Willen.
That's fine.
Alderman Olson.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, for the convenience of the people in the audience and my colleagues up here, if I could just run through the substantive changes.
I did notice that it looked like the boilerplate was taken right from the ordinance.
It is based on the ordinance.
Yeah, so I guess the world I came from, I usually you see like a strikeout copy or a highlighted copy of changes so that we know. So it was a little confusing.
Shame on us. But if you'd like, I'll do that.
Go ahead.
Page 2, item B under composition, a few wording changes. Primary being up to 12 members rather than a definitive number. Also added language in the following, within that sentence to allow for membership outside of the city.
Would you mind going through the page? And the
page 2 of the ordinance.
Economic development, A.
B, composition.
Composition, okay.
There were additions to A, by the way.
What?
A was changed because of the purpose. It was strengthened for balanced tax base and so forth, I thought.
Where's that? The third one? Oh, right here. Fourth. So that currently is to achieve a balanced tax base.
Good.
No, I'm trying to find a weak section.
Okay, then I want to B. So let's do A first. A is towards the middle of the paragraph. You see the line starts with Franklin. We just added to achieve the tax base. Balanced tax base.
the 73?
That's the intention, yes. Then under section B, we changed the language. Instead of the definitive, I think it was 11, it's changed to up to 12 members. Following on in that same sentence, the last part of the sentence, up to 10 of whom shall be citizens of Franklin and or neighboring communities. I thought that was important. In the past, we had non-resident business owners that were part of the commission who added great value. We wanted to have that back again. And added the selection and appointment criteria in section F. The rest of that is the same. In terms of offices, the same.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So in D, where it says the members of the commission shall be appointed by the mayor, confirmed by the common council, and shall serve without compensation, that's the remaining.
Mm-hmm. It could change, but that's...
That was what it was, and we didn't change it.
Or section D stayed the same. E changed a bit.
He's the same. I'm sorry.
He is the same. E under duties... stays pretty constant, except we added language in paragraph 1 that references the comprehensive master plan, the Tickner report, Franklin First, Crossroads Trade Area Plan, and then we added for future studies and other appropriate documents, such as the 76th and...
That's actually what I went back in the room to get was the... Because not everybody was here at the time.
I was going to bring Mr. Mayor.
Here's the Franklin First Development Plan, which I believe you chaired. And then, as a follow-up, this was the Rupert Milkey. That's the Ryan Creek Interceptor. There's the R.E. Smith Implementation Plan that's in harmony with Franklin First. And then the Comprehensive Master Plan for the city of the 2025, in many respects, was to carry out Franklin First and the R.E. Smith plan of achieving the 70-30 taxes.
Paragraph 2 changed at the starting the second sentence. The three of us felt that there should be some clarity as to how you evaluate a proposal, so we added the language that says the economic evaluation should consider tax benefits, development quality, etc., etc.
And the commission would do that?
The if I may. The commission would, with the continued focus, try to keep these things in mind and would be focused on, and the final portion of this, which is important, would focus on, to some extent, maximizing the taxable value per acre of development. The idea is we want high-quality business development in the city to benefit the current businesses and non-business residents of the city for tax base.
Yeah, the whole thing is focused on high enterprise base. Non-residential commercial development. Okay, on the next page, Mr. Mayor, section page 4, the only one that's changed here is item 4 was added. Frankly, I made this change to one member, a minimum of one member from the EDC on the 27th Street Steering Committee. I hear lots of political wranglings and comments about who ought or who ought not be on that commission.
The one question I do have about it is I'm not sure there's any enabling legislation that actually has been codified by the Common Council regarding the 27th Street Steering Committee. That was something that just sort of evolved. So if the commission or the council was to adopt this, I think it would be wise once and for all is to bring it back to the Common Council and vote on it.
The reality is, Mr. Mayor, the tradition was one from the UDC, one from the CDC. So this at least puts it on paper. The rest of them, I believe, are the same. Perhaps item 9 was added as a separate bullet point.
So 5 through 9, okay.
Yeah. Item F was what was added in substance, and this is our attempt to provide some focus and direction for the types of members that, frankly, the group of us felt would be important to meeting our goal of high-quality, non-residential, commercial tax base. So these would be the criteria. And Joe, you want to quick run through them?
Sure. If I can back you up, Mr. Mayor, that up on 7 above, there were some slight changes in 7 up above on the prior section E as well. Just, again, it was underlying the driving the cost benefit to the city by maximizing taxable value per acre versus other potential uses. So there was a little bit of minor wording change in 7 above as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Relative to the objective of the selection, the thought here is, just like when you're hiring someone into a position in business, you're hiring for skills and abilities or raw talent or a combination with certain attributes and abilities and experience being a blend. And there isn't a perfect blend, but what we wanted to do was to at least put down on paper, if we were going to look at knockout criteria for someone being appointed or not appointed, what are the sorts of things that would be considered? And so the first is the passion. And I think we've talked about it the last time, the idea here being we want to be sure that someone is passionate about doing it and helping and willing to put in time. And we set a guideline on, you know, how many hours a month to work. To be very honest, somebody should be willing to do this in their sleep. And this isn't much. 4 to 12 hours is not much. But we've seen in the past that there are cases where, to be honest, I don't know that a person was willing to do that much, to put it bluntly. And I think they ought to come in with an expectation that if you're going to be on the commission, you got something you got to do. Otherwise, what's the point? Second, rather than reading all of it, in that same paragraph, is that the person would have on their back some learning, because if they don't come in understanding what's going on in the city's planning and development process, if they haven't read through the pile of stuff you have, either the little CD that we produced some time back or at least flipping through to get a sense, then they're not bringing themselves up to speed enough. They can't come up to speed on their own. They need help from others, but it's kind of on our own backs to get a sense, I think.
Would it be the commissioners themselves that would recruit and try and bring people in that have a passion?
Not necessarily. I don't think that the commissioners themselves, especially a body of currently, 3, 4, can go and reach out to all of the potentials that are out there. I don't know that that's realistic. What I would claim is that for anybody who is looking to bring commissioners in, that these criteria should be considered, and you obviously revise them as you see fit. But I don't think that the body can grow itself. I do believe that the body can bring people in and can help those people to come up to speed. But I don't know that they can go and find and source all the membership.
So this would be up to the mayor?
This would be up to, I would tell you, anybody who cares. So from the standpoint of someone who has a suggestion for you, they should bring it to you. Someone on the common council who believes they know someone with a criteria should bring them forward. Someone like myself who tried to recruit a friend and the person said, there's no way in heck I'm going to go to that body because it doesn't have any support from the common council or from the mayor. Sorry, I apologize, but that's what he said to me. He said, forget it. It's, you know, you're destined to fail. Okay, I hear you, for now. Maybe there's a new day, maybe not. You know. So that's the first one. Second one is focus on lead generation. This is, again, what I had said the last time I was here, that some people are boundary-spanning people who maintain a lot of relationships and a network, and part of what they should be doing is trying to identify emerging opportunities. Not everybody's wired this way. Like I said, this is a weakness for someone like me. I know a few people, for example, who are in different firms where they help in selling commercial real estate and so forth. I know a few people. I have a few contacts. But I don't have a ton of them. That's not my strength. But a bunch of people who do that sort of thing and they naturally fit for it would be good candidates for the commission. They may be weaker on the next one, for example. So it's a blend of skills. So on the next one, the ability to help somebody through the labyrinth of process in the city, to act as a liaison, to be a good person who counsels somebody and helps to, if you will, close the deal. So for myself, who's been on a site selection in the past and built a factory, for example, and has been through dealing with municipalities, that's more in my skill set. Or who believes that, for example, if you're going into an area, you should have a neighborhood listening session. You should make certain that you don't have neighborhood backlash. One of the things that we never want to see in this city is somebody comes in and they're met with resistance. If it's a good project and you've done a good job along the way, there shouldn't be much voice saying, hey, it's bad, especially if you've taken the time to talk to the residents and listen to them.
Actually, that was the reason that I asked you to be on the EDC because of the experience that you had with USF Holland and knowing the neighbors and then trying to get the hotel in, which you were very successful in.
Yeah, so that is something that some people are going to be more skilled at, and others it depends on their skills and abilities, but realistically it's a good function, because if you're trying to get quality business in, you need to be sensitive to the fact that they come into an existing built area or an area that has thought in mind before they set down their footprint, and not everybody understands what the thought in mind is or agrees with it. So let's at least get the voices out there so you know what you're standing up against. The worst case is not knowing what you got until such time as you're way in process, and then all of a sudden it comes out as a problem.
Being a former personnel director, when I see words like passion, it's kind of subjective. It's sort of, that's why I'm trying to find out if it's the intent for the mayor to pick the people that bear a passion, this passion, because it's sort of throughout the whole document.
Yeah, so here's the thing. It is subjective, right? You can't know if somebody's going to be a great fit until they've tried it on. And they can't know if they're going to like it until they've tried it on. That's the other thing. You get into it, and for some people, like, man, this is a waste of my time. I hate it. You know what? They're going to wash out. That's okay.
What about a trial period?
I don't know that it's necessary, because realistically, if you're going to take the time to volunteer for a commission, you're going to put yourself into it, and you're going to resign if it's no darn good for you. I don't know that you need a trial period necessarily. From my standpoint, I'd bring them in and try them out, and don't bother to have a trial period. That's my own opinion. The other thing is that if you're trying to assess somebody, it's always going to have a subjective element that's pretty strong, right? That's just the nature of how we are in assessing people. That's the vast majority of making selections. Part of what I would recommend is if someone is going to bring themselves forward, I mean, heck, I share my resume of why I have certain attributes and why I don't. There's a form we fill out, but there's no reason why a professional resume of your experience can't accompany it. Tells you about the person. That guy can do it.
Joe, what about I'm going to be fairly specific on certain people that I know in the community. Jim Lucky, do you know Jim?
Nope.
I don't know if Jim has a outstanding resume or is proven himself with experience in economic development, but to me he's like one of the hardest workers I've ever seen, and the gentleman can get things done in about 10 minutes and also has all these business communication skills and also has personal skills. Would he be a guy that...
Without talking to him, I couldn't tell you. Wouldn't know. For myself, I've probably hired over 100 people in my career so far. Usually I can take about 15 minutes and figure out whether somebody's a fit for something or not. Sometimes I'm wrong. Most of the time, with myself and a few other people, depending upon what the position is, we're generally right. Not always, but generally. We have a few washouts, but not a ton. You can tell a lot about a person when you talk to them and when you see what their background is. You need kind of both, though. That's why I say I'd bring a resume if it was me. If I was up for a commission appointment, I'd say, here I am. Here's my thing. It's what I am. You can ask me about what I've done. Why not? It's like applying for a job, kind of. Only you don't get paid. It takes more time, and sometimes you have a lot of headaches. Other than that, it's great.
Well, with my past experience, I've also met quite a few people, probably have interacted with, at one time I had jurisdiction for about 12,000 people, and then Union Day is probably 14,000 others. While some of these people were my buddies, they were business associates, like the airport director or the director of economic development for Blount County or others. Ralph Holman, Howard Fuller, those types of individuals. And over the years, I saw certain people like Jim Kerr, who used to run an airport, and, or Rosie Burek, who ran three divisions of Ameritech, also took the Franklin Jr. Miss program and really did an outstanding job, and grew up in the community and knows everybody in the community. So those types of people are the types of people that I wanted to have on economic development. Also, when you have projects that would come in like Walmart, because they grew up in the community, because they had experience, because they talked to everybody, they had a pretty much of a feel as for what is a fit and what isn't a fit. But I don't know with a resume if they would actually make it.
Yeah, maybe not.
Alderman Bolson.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. If I may, let me just briefly do a few that have been on the commission in the days where we had so much work we didn't know what to do. Back in the selling of the industrial park, not the business park, the industrial park, we had Sally Smith, controller for a school of theology at Sacred Hearts. We had Tom Lowe, president of Franklin State Bank. We had Glenn Hubbard, president of Festa. We had Ted Grinches, who at the time was vice president of marketing for IBM for Milwaukee. Jim Reiner was director of marketing for Edison Electric. I was the odd man out as regional manager for a small video company. So I was the baby of the bunch. But Brad Bauman, who was vice president of public affairs for, at the time, Wisconsin Bell. That, I keep going back to that because that's what worked. And no offense to anybody that served that I haven't mentioned, but those guys were. I mean, Tom Lowe knew everybody. And you'd sit at an Economic Development Commission meeting and somebody would say, you know, I heard XYZ is thinking of moving. Tom Lowe would say, Stan, call me in the morning. Taken care of. That's the kind of relationship we want. And that's the level of people that I think would be most effective.
No, two, of course, two of those individuals, Sally Smith and Tom Lowe, I've asked.
And I, you know, it's up to this body as to whether they come back. Because frankly, people are looking at what the vote's going to be here and what we're going to vote on. And so that, if, pardon me for running through a history lesson, there it is.
Sure, I'm sorry.
So you're.
But this is, I'm going through this, depending on who's going to interview and make the selection, and if the selection is based on this criteria, I need to know specifically who would meet the test and who wouldn't.
So if you were to just hear what, I don't know this low guy, but he's more of a lead generation kind of guy. He's a guy who's got a lot of relationships and boundary spanning and so forth. So there's a guy that I knew years ago at Ernst & Young. His name is Lewelowitz, and John Lewelowitz knew everybody. John would make, you know, leads, and my job was once he brought them to sell services and close deals. That's how it worked because he was the lead generating guy. This other guy sounds kind of like that. Don't know him. Would have to talk to him, but sounds like it. If we move on to G, if we're ready to do that real fast, just the information sharing piece here.
Wait, I...
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Sure, I was on F with 2 through... I'm sorry. Sure.
Going back a little bit, under the marketing aspect, which is kind of a big nut for all of us to try to get around, I think we all want to see some type of more aggressive marketing. Can anything be achieved with the zero budget, or is the EDC would have to require to come back and ask for some money and have some operational funds to move forward at to make any real practical inroads on that?
You want an honest answer? With zero budget, you're going to get zero result. Period. That's what you're going to get. Because you can't do something with nothing. And you can't even produce any glossy literature that's worth a darn with zero. I'm not saying you need to have $100,000, but you got to have something. So.
One other aspect, going back to electing the chairman, right now you have, 3 or 4 members somewhere in between there. And if this were to be approved, it would be eliminating the current and recreating it. So you would be starting with that, 3 or 4 members?
There are ways to do this, right? So the first thing is, someone like myself, I'm up in July. I'm officially done. I'm up for reappointment. I don't know when Diviker's done. I don't remember. But we have membership that is kind of, if you will, phasing out to a low level, right? Okay, so that kind of restarts things depending upon what it is. In our last meeting, you know, that by all rights, you know, we're supposed to have an election of a chair. There's no point to have an election of a chair until you have a body. So I opted to suspend that because, I mean, what's the point of that? Until we figured ourselves out, that's just an exercise in utter futility, and who cares? So some of us will time out, and then if we are reappointed and we think it's a good idea, hey, then we come back and we come out to play. And others, you can make a choice to, as Alderman Taylor put it some weeks ago, blow up the commission and poof, it's gone. You can always do that and then recreate something, sure. Or you can just stick with the little bit you got and build on it. With so little membership and some of it timing out soon, I don't know that it's going to have a material impact. You got to go and look for who you want to have come play, pick them, and see if you can convince them that doing some extra work is worth their while.
And speaking of electing a chairman by the members of the commission, correct? Would that be like, would you do a voice vote, secret ballot, or how would you?
Sure, right. So were it me, I would let the members get some time to know each other first, and then what I would do is put up on the agenda to have elections. And generally, you can have elections by a membership of the commission where you can have a secret ballot, and it's totally fine. I don't think that anyone would care about that and would be offended by it. You can also do it open. I don't know that I would say one way or the other without taking a pulse about how people feel. But that's me. I really would like to get a sense for how the membership then feels, and then we go from there.
We were talking about the duties earlier on E, and after reading that, I was wondering if the word in conformance with might be better to be in consideration of. And the reason why.
Where are you?
I'm on E on page 3.
E1, third one.
So is this in conformance with, and then it lists plans. So I had in consideration of, because it's hard to be in conformance. So
sure.
Especially the mayor, that plan that you had there, that one right there, what's the date on that one? The one who brought in all these plans. The top one you're stacked at.
This is the Ryan Creek Interceptor.
Oh, what's the date on that one?
September 2010.
Okay,
point
like,
taken.
Like that, I don't remember that ever coming before the council, so it would be really hard for that to, you know, people to be knowledgeable about that whole document. So.
The intent was to give somebody a background of stuff that they would then read and come up to speed on that would guide them from the standpoint of what the intent is in the city and where it has gone, and if we have a, you know, nice updated master plan, to being certain that they're familiar with that and the areas of the city that are appropriate for business development, all that good stuff, and what we're trying to get to. Because one of the things that one must do when one hires a person is to help onboard them, right? So you get hired into a job, you don't sit them down at a desk and say, hey, good luck, here you go, hope you know your job right away, right? Part of what we need to do is help people to come up to speed, and the reference materials are a guide. So I think you're right.
You like the consideration of
that. Yeah, I think conformance, you know, with is probably too strong as language.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alderman Olson.
Shame on me, man. In all of these paragraphs that reference various reports, what's missing? 27th Street corridor plan. That ought to be in the 22nd.
Well, it's part of the comprehensive master plan, I believe it is. But there's also the...
Yeah, the streetscape, I don't believe is...
There was also another Rupert Milkey report on structures of boards and commissions that probably should be referred to. Whatever. I'm going to pass the table so you'll.
Your Honor?
Well, given that that we're really talking about probably the next 100 to 200 years of the city and how it's going to. Well, really? That's why we did all this. This is why we spend $500,000 as a city for the Franklin First development plan and then the R.E. Smith implementation plan, and then we have that plan and all these plans for economic development. Now, I think what's happening, I mean, we have, I don't know if you'd agree with this, Joe, but we have a plan. I mean, the city, we have, mm-hmm. and it's based on achieving the 70-30 goal, right? While it's not in your report, what's your feelings on achieving the Bryant Creek intersection.
What's my feeling on it? I don't know.
Well, according to all these documents, the only way that you can achieve the 70-30 is with the Bryant Creek intersection.
Yeah. Maybe. There's a, how do I put this? That the valuation of dollar per acre is something that in certain areas of the city can vary significantly depending upon what sits down. Significantly. So depending upon what the development looks like.
Okay. But the common council has this council, other councils, has voted to implement the comprehensive master plan for the city. It calls for the achieving a 70-30. Mm-hmm. And laying that out with our consultants and everyone, the only way to achieve that, according to them, was through the Bryant Creek intersection.
Okay.
So is that the goal of the Economic Development Commission?
The Bryant Creek Interceptor as a specific objective. I would tell you that if it's in the comprehensive master plan and if it is good business development, then yes, it would be.
Because it's you know, it's throughout the document about making sure that the city's planning and development processes, comprehensive master plan, Tickner report, the Franklin First Study, Crossroads Area Trade Plan, and other appropriate documents. Mm-hmm. So if we're to seriously place all the economic development for the future of the city in the hands of the Economic Development Commission, I would think the council would want you to carry out their wishes.
That would be the intent of the commission. Yeah. The commission wouldn't, by any means, be a body that would operate without, if you will, the oversight of the Common Council. I think it's pretty clear in here that that's the intent.
Let's hypothetically say that council decides to go with your plan. Mayor decides to go and support your plan. What would you think about, you have three bodies right now. You have Economic Development Commission, Community Development Authority, and the Mayoral Ad Hoc Development Review Committee. All being staffed, dollars are being expended on those things. What would your feelings be about folding in the CDA, the Mayoral Ad Hoc Development Review Committee, and taking the members that are currently on there, making them members of the Economic Development Commission? And I'll just, because you probably don't know who they are. You have Linda Ryan, who's a former county supervisor, real estate person, who was chairman of Economic Development Commission for Milwaukee County. You have Mark Cass, who's the editor of the Business Journal. You have Steve Bartles, who's a very successful businessman. I'm trying to think of the
Snap-on.
Snap-on. You have Ed Holfer, who's been on the school board, I believe he's the former president of the Chamber of Commerce for West Dallas.
And Frank.
And still in the steel home business or other businesses, but been very, very active. In fact, I think he helped develop the Franklin First plan. There's like 19 of us that used to meet there. And then with the Mayoral Ad Hoc Development Review Committee, you have Alderman Skransky, Community Development Authority, too. Let's see, former international president of NARI. About 400 or 500 different credentials. And then you go to the Mayoral Ad Hoc Development Review Committee, which is Alderman Taylor, Mark Carstensen, Jim O'Malley, developer.
Can you help me out with Jim Kerr? Jim Kerr?
Oh, Jim Kerr, former deputy director of the airport. Would that be something that you could consider?
So, first off, it depends upon what you give up by stealing the people from the other bodies.
CDA and the...
Yeah, but depending upon what it is that they have in front of them and what they need to get done, you don't take people from something and go without a penalty for that, right? So,
no, but
depends
just,
upon what you're
right.
intending.
Some of the thoughts are, because economic development is really intended, I suppose if I was to submit a resume, I probably wouldn't make it under this because I got a human resources, labor relations background. Some of the things that the Mayoral Ad Hoc Development Review Committee is doing is trying to streamline business process, our ordinances, way of, you know, mm-hmm. one-stop shop, mm-hmm. and then to promote the city and to make it more business-friendly. So I think that's kind of hand-in-hand with economic development.
Mm-hmm. So what I would do is I would look at them and I would bring them before the Common Council as potential appointees and have them vetted relative to the criteria. If you think that they're appropriate, then you as the mayor should bring them forward. That's what I would say. Okay. So if you believe they're appropriate.
Well, I know.
I can't say that they're appropriate because I would want to, if it was me and I was selecting them, I would look at what they bring as credentials and I'd talk to each of them. Okay. Like I said before, you know, I can usually tell from my own hiring whether someone be appropriate or not, whether they're really going to get it done, whether they're going to be sharing information and building consensus and all that good stuff. But it takes a little dialogue. And
so you leave it up to me?
I would leave it up to the process that we described, which is the mayor is appointing and the Common Council is validating, which is what we did say in the document, left on purpose that way.
Okay. I'm just wondering your thoughts on any names there that would pop out as being potentially...
No, not popping out. What I will tell you is that I would look very, very strongly at the criteria that were brought in here and say to oneself, are they really going to bring what it takes to generate leads for the city or be a credible person that a business person is going to want to work with side by side, helping them through things? And are they really going to have those credentials and qualities that someone is going to trust? Because when it comes, down to
the people I've mentioned, the answer is yes.
For all of them, I don't know. To be honest, I don't know, Mayor Taylor. I don't know.
You asked what else would the commissioners currently be doing that would they need to finish up. And I'm just throwing this out here as instead of having three bodies, you know, trying to fold it under one tent. The CDA has jurisdiction on TIF District Number 2. Until such time, and the city attorney can correct me, that the Common Council determines not to, but we're shooting for a date of December of this year to defease the bonds. So if the Common Council wanted to say that there would not be a CDA, at that juncture, I think you could roll them in. Or you could roll them in now and then disband the CDA at a later date. I'm just trying to, you know, from a management viewpoint, you have three separate committees and they're sort of working independently and maybe they're in conflict. It'd be a lot better to have it all under one umbrella.
Yeah, Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Olson.
Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Olson.
Well, I guess I've been in this city for 23 years and volunteered for 8.5 and 4 years on Alderman. And I guess to be really blunt, what I see is people seem to want to take too much credit, too much power rather than working together. There's not a real joint community effort on everything. I mean, when I look at the group out there that's here tonight that tried to at least bring something forward, we couldn't even find a way to accommodate that. Whether it was a good idea or a bad idea, but certainly they're a group of dedicated people. And I think we should look at all options. And maybe they just didn't, you know, don't quite process on how to do that, and that's no reflection on you or anyone on that. It's just that some people are new, and I think maybe we need some new people. If we've already had all these people with all these strengths on the CDA and the ad hoc, maybe things could be getting done, but I am still a little bit beside myself in the last ad hoc committee meeting when I asked one of the business owners to come there and speak. When I went to speak, he was cut off and left the room quite upset. And in a small ad hoc committee meeting like that, I don't see some of the formal procedures that need to be quite that strict in a situation like that. To me, it's not being very friendly. And I don't know how we get beyond that, because it seems to be the rut we're stuck in. It's same thing with the Plan Commission, same thing with, you know, people have input, but it's, I understand Robert's rules of order, and you get it, but aldermen coming to meetings and you won't allow them to speak, I mean, that's when, you know, the elected officials are supposed to be providing input. They're supposed to be there representing their constituents. And if I come to a meeting and they don't have time, the body that I come for doesn't have time to hear what I have to say, Alderman Olson was at that meeting as well, then we don't even need to have aldermen. So there's a process here that is not working. And it goes way deeper than the Economic Development Commission. It goes with appointments and friendships and partnerships and power, and instead of cooperation. I don't see this community getting very far unless cooperation happens. And I don't have any answers on how to fix that. I'm just giving what I've observed after living in this community as long as I have. And after trying to accomplish something as an alderman in my district, and what it takes to try to get the smallest item accomplished in the district, I can just imagine how business people feel.
Alderman Olson.
Mr. Mayor, let me approach this from a method that normally would not come out of my mouth. I appreciate what you had to say about the three commissions, the three bodies. And I look at the Ad Hoc Development Review Committee and the list of the tasks that they have to accomplish. And I don't know that anybody could accomplish those tasks in any amount of time, but especially without meeting on a more frequent basis, especially without having a little bit more involvement from the people on the committee. And I've been to a few of those meetings, and it's amazing to me that only two people speak usually. I think, given my years since 1991 of sitting on various boards and commissions, you can real quickly tell who's going to participate in that and who brings value to the table by the amount they participate. So that ought to be a criteria. But what strikes me the most is, right now, the Economic Development Commission has an opportunity in a very stark opportunity to either reinvigorate and do something good for the community or go away. And I think that it's vital that we take advantage of this opportunity and appoint some new and interesting and fresh blood. Let's not merge the groups together, at least not right now. Let's let the ad hoc committee bring something forward to fix the problem we had with three sellers and various other community, various other developments. Fix the development process. I note on the list of tasks of the ad hoc committee is to dissolve the EDC. Well, where did that become their responsibility? It's on there. Haven't you read the list lately?
From day one, it's on there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, given that, I wouldn't want any of those people on the EDC, or at least the person who put that on there. So I think we ought to take advantage of this opportunity and go find some people, provided that this council and the mayor supports the idea of an economic development commission. Let's go find some good people. All of us. All of us. Let's not rehash the old folks.
Alderman Taylor.
Well, you heard, I think, early on about, it sounds like there's a fracture maybe at part of this council and maybe part of this community, because I've been told now a couple times that people are watching, and depending on the way it goes, will determine whether or not people want to serve. You're absolutely correct. I know if we keep it the way it is, there are a bunch of quality people that do not want to serve. Maybe you're one of them.
I am one of them.
All right. So there's a fraction, that's fine. And that's a fraction of the state in this country. So why would we, frankly, be any different than anywhere else? And if you think everybody that serves on a board of commission are going to get along, you're crazy. If you think everybody on this council are going to get along on every issue, you're nuts. And there's this belief that we all should just get along. Well, that's kind of tough. There's personalities that go so far. I mean, Alderman Olson and I do not get along. That is very public. All right? No, The only time we got along was
you, of course, are speaking for yourself.
Yes. And the only time anything did was when we had to go into a fire training course, and he had an axe, and I had an axe. So that's
you had an axe behind me. That's why I got along with you.
So, but would I want to work on a project with them? No. I don't want to. There's got to have a level of trust, and I think that there's that in this city. But some groups don't trust other groups, and that's always going to be the case. You can take a look at elections over the years. One group's has the control, and they get voted out. Someone else comes in, they get voted out. That's, you know, but what we have here is we got, well, actually, there's a fourth proposal in the audience. And we're going to allow them to speak tonight, so anybody said that they weren't going to be allowed is, I don't know if I understand that. In regards to aldermen, I've been open, what, 3 years plus? I cannot recall going to a meeting when an alderman was not allowed to speak. I've been here, and I won't, that I can recall, and I'd be ticked off if I wasn't allowed to speak. That's never happened to me. And the meeting at the ad hoc committee, I guess I'm trying to figure that out, you got up for 15 minutes and the environmental commission. I recall that on the phone. Anyways, one of the things we talked about, the mayor brought up, asking Commissioner Haslow where he stood on the Ryan Creek Interceptor. That will be a criteria for anybody that serves. If they're opposed to it, I'm not going to see that. I won't vote for them. But that's the future of this city. And if they don't know what it is or can't take a position, that's another no vote. So, whatever we decide to do, and frankly, I think the size is an issue, and that's why I looked at shrinking it down to 7, and the alderman Schmidt did also. But I think it's also, I'm going to go back, it's a structure issue. And I do want to hear from the other group. You know, they are here sitting patient for the last hour, and this will be on our next agenda also.
We think we stopped at 1
mark. You got the last one.
G? Well, there are a number of changes because it's... Passion for Franklin Economic Development. One, I started asking some questions, was subjective and who determines passion? And then we got off on a tangent.
Not us.
No. Then I think we're on 2. We're on page 5, 2. Focus on economic development generation. So, really, given that we are talking about one of the most important things that we could possibly talk about. We're doing pretty good. So, Joe, I'll give it back to you with 2, focus on economic development and lead generation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the idea of this was that, again, some of the people who would be on the commission would have a boundary-spanning tendency, the relationship focus where they know a lot about what is going on. They have a lot of loose relationships just by the very nature of how they're wired. So I mentioned the guy that I knew in my past, John Lowellowitz, was very good at this. It comes down to what a person does in their professional career and how they're wired. Not everybody does great boundary spanning. Not everybody's wired for it. Some people are. Those same people have a tendency to be less wired for the next one, which should be 3, but is 4, on being a liaison to businesses and closing out the deal, if you will. Primarily because the person who is looking to get through the process in the city and who is looking to have discussions on the trade-offs of decisions that they're having relative to potential site is thinking about economics, cost, volume, profit analysis, and a bunch of other stuff that is beyond the figuring out if a possibility exists stage. Now you're into difficult, nitty-gritty junk, depending upon the situation, has a different skill set, just my opinion. So, for example, in my past experience, when we were trying to figure out where to put down a factory to serve the heavy truck industry, and we were looking at 6 different sites, the person who was helping to understand the possibilities of where to go initially was not playing in the game when we were looking at the trade-offs of the 6 different sites. That person helped to get us to a given point, and that person was not the key player in determining what it was going to be like and making the deal with the municipalities when we came to the end of the game. Okay, just different skills. So that's four.
Okay.
I don't want to like belabor these
so
things.
Four is supposed to be four.
Four is
three was good.
Yeah, there was no three. It's just misnumbered. So, then the next thing is basically keeping an eye on the selection appropriateness. So the idea here is that the person should provide a profile of their skills and experience, should be reviewed by the mayor and the common council. Again, it wasn't trying to change the process. It was trying to enhance it with some focus and some, if you will, criteria. Okay? Not trying to take the process away from the mayor appointing or the common council validating. Never intended. Because in the end, the commission is accountable to the elected officials. It's just the way it is.
What would you think about the council were to select three, four people, as recruiters to assist in bringing names forward?
I don't think it hurts. Because again, I think anybody should be able to bring forth qualified people. I don't know that it should be on the back of just the recruiters per se. I think it should be, you know, any one of us who's got, if we figured out what the body is going to look like and there's enough agreement and support for it, then just as a citizen, I would tell you that there's a guy I know who's president of a firm who might do it. Right now, he's not going to play. But he might. He's more in the first camp. He generates leads. He's good at it. But
I know a ton of people that
but
don't want to play.
But he's not going to play. If I may, on G. So the idea of G was information sharing both into the commission and out of it to the elected officials. And the idea here is if opportunities are coming about, the commission doesn't stand a chance of being helpful if they don't know about it. And it has to at least go to the chair of the commission. The chair of the commission has it upon his or her back to assure that the other parties of the commission are aware so that they can aid, whether it's appointing a liaison or whether it's a general awareness point that something is going on. The idea is that the alderman who's got that district should know, in my opinion anyway, and the commission itself should know. Now, there are cases of confidentiality which were brought up in the past. Well, we can't share this because it's confidential. The deal gets spoiled. I doubt it. I'm sorry, folks, if you're appointing people that somehow are going to spoil a deal, then you're appointing the wrong folks. And there's no reason why we have to identify particular business out in the open in this sort of a body such that it would ever spoil their deal. That shouldn't ever happen.
You're the chairman. You're the chairman what?
I am the vice chairman and the person who is right now avoiding putting elections on for the EDC, that's what I am.
Well, no matter what may occur tonight or in the near future, you probably should contact Lisa and set up an appointment with the mayor, because all this is going on. There actually are parties interested in coming to Franklin. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's quite a few people.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense if I'm going to continue to act in an economic development capacity, which I will tell you I am undecided on. Because I've been to so many meetings like this, and I will tell you that honestly, at least in the last meeting that I ran, there were four aldermen present, and I would have been remiss to not have an opportunity for them to talk and to get input into the thoughts on this in the midst of that meeting. I mean, it was basically a great opportunity to get input from elected officials. What a foolish mistake it would be not to get that. So the thing that's been mentioned here in terms of the, you know, the city and people getting along, there's also not a kumbaya section in here. I don't think that we see that one where we're all going to go and get together and give a big group hug. I'm not expecting that out of anybody.
They might have that in the Oak Creek one.
In the Oak Creek one, they have the group hug section. I didn't put that one in yet.
I'm not so sure they've accomplished.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we didn't put in group hug. The reality is that, you know, there are going to be personalities, and I can tell you that some of the people that I disagree with most are the same people that I respect quite a great deal. But that's because I value a difference of opinion. If I didn't value that, I want a whole bunch of little Joe Haslows running around, I can go and find a whole bunch of people just like me, and we'd have a whole lot of that. And unfortunately, we'd miss a whole lot of characteristics we need. So there needs to be a heterogeneous mix.
I have to tell you, after what are we now on, the 53 years as a city? I find it incredible that we're talking about putting together economic development. relationship has been wired for a long, long period of time. But there was conflict. When I was sitting on the council, there were a number of individuals that wanted to get rid of the CDA. I think really what they wanted to do was get rid of the members of the CDA, not as much as the CDA itself. Had a lot of controversy. The only thing I'm looking for, Joe, and I think you're of the same mind, is let's put something together that works. And if the mayor has to be not the chairman, that's okay. In Oak Creek, I believe the mayor is an ex officio member, and that would be just hunky-dory with me. But let's put something that works, and let's go out and promote the city any way we possibly can and try and bring the best, highest quality businesses here. I don't think I'd get a disagreement with you.
Ooh, there will be no disagreement for me on that. Yeah. That's mom and apple pie.
Alderman Salmon, Alderman Wilhelm.
Question, Joe. Mm-hmm. The confidentiality thing has been mentioned a couple of different times. Mm-hmm. And I've been sitting in this chair for quite a few years. And when we got Northwestern Mutual to come, Northwestern Mutual talked to nobody. They went to a developer and had all the land purchased before we even knew what was going on. So confidentiality with them, and any large business that you're going to attempt to recruit from another community, they don't want to be put in the paper that they're going to leave this location and move to this location, et cetera, et cetera. So confidentiality is very, very high on the list. And sometimes that's the way things get done. Your candidate form, or however you want to call it, the selection process, when we have staff openings for very important jobs, we do go through an interview process. Maybe that's better than just an appointment. Maybe there'd be a couple of people that would interview the candidates. So you get, like you said, you have an opportunity to talk to them for 10 or 15 minutes, see where they're coming from. Maybe that'd be a solution to, rather than just an appointment, rubber stamp by the council. We have a couple of people that would do some interviewing for some of these. And I say this without disrespect, some very, very important jobs are here. This is very, very important work. Like you mentioned, it has to be a two-way street. If the mayor gets a call, or the alderman gets a call, you need to convey that message to whomever is in charge of the EDC. There will be an opportunity in the very near future. The mayor indicated that in December, some people on the CDA aren't really going to have much to do besides twiddle their thumbs because the business park will be closed. And so there may not be everyone on that particular commission that is interested in moving to this one, but some of those individuals I think may be very good candidates. But I would think that we'd want to go through some type of an interview process with those individuals to test their commitment. See the books in front of the mayor that have been mentioned a couple of times here. If anybody has a commitment or desire to go on to this commission and they read through that stack of material, they have to be interested. If after a month you ask them a question about the Franklin First Plan, after 2 months you talk about the comp plan, if they don't know what you're talking about, that might not be the correct person for the job. There are some ways to look at this. I appreciate the effort that you and others put into this. I'm sure we'll have more discussion tonight and tomorrow. Thank you.
Olivia Wilhelm.
Well, I mentioned that last time about the interviewing the resume process and going along. This is a job that you said you brought that up about hiring people. And why not have resumes? Everybody can get a resume these days. It shouldn't be that difficult to do. And I don't know, maybe the city attorney could hang on this. Could we then take those resumes as a council and go into closed session and negotiate who we would want to look on there rather than putting this in front of people and, you know, it seems to me like it would be a better way to do it than, so no one really knows, the application goes in and everyone has a chance to discuss their strengths and weaknesses about the person, and no certain names are, oh, well, you applied but you didn't make the cut from the council or something. It just doesn't seem like a very friendly way. Again, it's kind of a slap in the face of the people that want to help out who took the time to put a resume in. And I would think that a more the confidentiality process should happen with the selection of people as well. And I just wanted to go back a little bit to Joe, what you said about, you made the comment about the group hug. And, you know, what my intention was, you know, I don't expect we're all going to get along. That's, I grew up in a family of all girls.
Sorry.
So I know about, you know, size and you know, that. So never expect that, but I do expect the respect part. And that's what the word, I guess, that really I clung on to what was said there was the word respect. It doesn't seem to be an equal playing field at times, whether it's commissioners or aldermen or, you know, constituents or whatever. There needs to be more of equal respect back and forth of people's opinions and the differences in people's opinions. And maybe that's where we need to work. Maybe that's part of the problem.
Mr. Hansel, I just wanted to thank you because I can see that there was a lack of time and effort that was put into this and putting the criteria together, all that. I appreciate it, and you're doing this with no pay, just as a citizen volunteer. So
thank you. It wasn't really that much effort to put it together. It's more time to come here and chat about it. So I have an appointment that I'm going to go to, so I apologize. I actually wanted to hear the other parties talk, but I will not have an opportunity tonight.
City attorney?
Only that with regard to the option to dissolve the CDA, yes, that is the common council's option, but I do recall, and I didn't handle this bond council, but during the Indian school siting process, there was a bonding task assigned to the CDA, and I'm recalling that in the thick packet of bonding documents that I didn't have to look through because it wasn't part of my job, and I confirmed that with bond council. What did jump out at me is some requirement for continuation as opposed to dissolution of the CDA for that bond purpose. So that's out there. I have no idea if the bond is satisfied or remains in effect. And number two, while the CDA existence is an option of the county council, Community Development Authority is a statutory 7-member committee, and by state law, it is imbued as a separate body politic with all the variety of authority and powers of a redevelopment authority, including making contracts, making loans, etc. And so that should be something to be kept in mind.
I think I talked to Mr. Sajak Friday or something, or Thursday, Friday, and actually just threw all of these ideas out so that there would be some answers on it. So I see he had his hand up.
Yeah, actually, I was just going to point out one last change just in the interest of making sure all the changes are properly identified. Page 2, item C, terms of office. The substance there hasn't changed. The language has changed a little bit. The idea, I think, being, and the members of the body can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the idea being that if you may, you know, start with 5 and you're maybe going to add couple extras, that as you're adding people or replacing people, that the council has some flexibility in those terms so that you have that continuity, so that you don't have a situation where all of the members are up in one particular year, but instead you stagger them for those, you know, potentially 3-year terms. So,
and I have to just add that the reason I was thinking about that is because we do have a number of vacancies on the EDC, about 7. And if the council doesn't act on something else, the current ordinance is in place, so I'm going to have to fill all these positions. One of the simplest way I've thought about doing it is to fold what I would say are all qualified people, both on the CDA and the mayoral ad hoc development committee under one. because while we're all debating this, business is not going to wait for us, really. It's until such time as we may think we're getting our act together, business will just find another place to go. So, so I think it is important that the council select either this or Alderman Taylor's, where I'm still not off of mine. I thought by far that was the best idea, but I'm a little prejudiced on that. And just to throw the other thing out, I noticed in Oak Creek that everything is under the CBA, and the mayor is an ex officio member on there. I think the chairman is an alderman, and that appears to be doing quite well. And then one other thing, and that's that I've brought up in the past, I don't know if I've talked to you, Joe, about this, but the bid district for 27th Street, a potential bid district. And I think the city of Greenfield and the city of Milwaukee just had their grand opening, and from what I'm being told is they're going to receive the public policy award for the best intergovernmental cooperation agreement. Kind of ticks me off a little bit, is it's the idea I brought to you 2 years ago. But thank you very much. I know you have a point.
Thanks, guys.
Right. Next. Who's going to be Mr. Kowalski? That would remind everyone that we're committee of the whole, so no action can be taken tonight. Yeah. Tomorrow is a county council meeting or another county council meeting or a special county council. And if you could state your name and address for the record, and we'll distinguish guests to your right.
My name is Bray Kowalski, 8817 South Golden Court in Franklin. I am the president of Citizens for Community Development.
Tim Tatlock, 3119 West Minnesota Avenue. I am the treasurer of CCD.
Basically, you know, as a board and as a community organization, we have been watching this process unfold before the council in terms of various economic development commission plans and ideas. And given that we are a community-based organization dedicated, I mean, community development is in our name, I believe our board is very strongly motivated to bring forward ideas, plans, etc., for economic development projects and promoting the city of Franklin in terms of economic development potential. Therefore, we decided to, at our last board meeting, basically send you guys a little bit of a resume of our own and to basically have you guys consider what we feel could be another option for your situation. You know, based on what I'm hearing, it sounds like there's a lot of concerns about the commission being too political. You know, the commission not being highly qualified, per se. And I think from our perspective, we come from, we're an independent body. We have a lot of residents of Franklin. We have business owners on our board. We are supported by the business community. We are primarily funded by Franklin businesses. Actually, Staybridge Suites sponsored and paid for our website recently. So, you know, I think we feel that we can definitely throw our hat in the ring and basically ask for your consideration for our option. Our board is willing to revise our bylaws and allow up to two aldermen to sit on our board. If the council feels that alderman or the mayor is not the right person, you want to appoint citizens as your representatives, that's up to you. But we are extremely flexible and we're extremely independent, and I think we can get the job done a lot quicker and a lot faster than perhaps maybe the governmental process. Kind of the vibe I get is I think our proposal more closely resembles what the state of Wisconsin recently did underneath Governor Walker's administration, which is with their Department of Commerce. They kind of made a quasi-public-private union in the hopes of encouraging businesses to come to the state of Wisconsin. And I think something like that in a miniature form can happen here in Franklin. So, with that being said, is there any questions?
I have a couple hundred. I know Alderman Skronsky maybe can weigh in on this. My recollection that when the EDC was first formed, that loose-knit group Alderman Olson has talked about, call it the super team, the dream team. It really was. There's no doubt about it. It's like in baseball or football or basketball. The Brewers usually have 50 bad years, and then you might have the one that goes to the World Series. But that was, there's no doubt about it. That was a dream team, and it just came together. But where I'm going with this is that I think when that was first formed, there were some people, I want to say Joanne Brandes, probably one of the most it might be the city attorney that wasn't a city attorney. But there were a number of people that wanted to create a nonprofit economic development commission. And I've always been kind of in favor of that because businesses do not relish the idea of being dragged through the mud, the political mud. They do not relish having their names and reputation get thrown about because the mayor may not be getting along with the development or something like that. And then I've seen it up here. I sat over in Doug's chair. This was not a good place to be an elected official. And saying that, I'm very happy to be on this kind of council with all of you. I think that you all behave very, very well. While we may have strong opinions, the garrison blows up here a few years back. This is doggone good. Anyhow, I like the idea of having that nonprofit organization that we've always talked about. And because you probably can get a lot of things done that cannot occur within a governmental body. Yes, Alderman Olson.
Excuse me. Thank you very much. I apologize for interrupting, but you brought up one of my hot buttons, too. That body does exist, or it existed.
Somebody
got to dig up the documents, but it's...
We did. Okay. A couple years ago, I don't know.
I think I signed off on the last $1,000.
Yeah, it's probably still in place. But, I'm looking down the listing of the executive board. Tim, I'd be a owner of four businesses. Like that, I don't know Tara. Scott Cole, I definitely know, and a very well respected individual. Sue Herman, and this guy named Bob. Heard of those two names. Chris, she only runs the National Distinguished Women's, so I don't know if you can trust her or not. Scott, I do not know. Mike Soto, absolutely one of the I respect him immensely. Steve Bartlett sits on the CDA right now. Mark Hansen, early. Melissa Klein, terrific. John Miglick, pretty good. Sue, I don't know, but it's a nice board there.
Thank you.
And some of the projects that you've asked me to try and assist you on are my opinion, building a Central Park and working at the school district and all those things. I think those are your organization is right on target. So with that, I'm going to kind of let the other aldermen have at you. But I think it's a, first of all, I appreciate that you're bringing it forward, and I see that you have a number of people in the audience, and I also see that you took a lot of time and effort in bringing this to our attention. So I welcome the discussion. Any questions? Alderman Scranton?
Yeah. I give you a lot of credit for what you put together. It's a lot of thought and substance to it. Do you envision that your mission would be in lieu of the Economic Development Commission, or parallel to, or in conjunction with?
Two or three. Well, I think it could easily be an option one or three. I think we can definitely be very well. We can definitely work together. We can even be in conjunction with the Economic Development Commission. Our mission is to locate and research and analyze potential opportunities for the city of Franklin in a variety of topics. I don't know if you recall, but even as recent as this past January, we submitted a proposal to the city when the city was looking at welcome signs for the city. And lo and behold, if I'm not mistaken, the council actually referred it to the Economic Development Commission. So our proposals and our ideas are, for the most part, economic development related. So I think we can easily do what the Economic Development Commission is doing, and perhaps even what the mayor was mentioning earlier today, where we actually could merge the bodies in some way, shape, or form. And maybe that goes to the point of the quasi-public-private situation that I was speaking of.
Yeah, okay, thank you. That's all I have right now. Let somebody else speak.
Anything else? Holden Olson?
Just for the record, Greg and I met on this last week and had a frank discussion. Mm-hmm. So just want everybody to know that I'm not sitting here quiet because of any other reason than Greg and I already talked about.
Holden Olson?
Well, I was reading your letter here, and it's nice that Donna read all the work. And one thing that was in the, I guess it was the Hassel one, was the passion then, was a requirement for one of the duties or the qualifications. And I just want to read this because this sort of speaks to the passion. And this is in the letter you have. There is a strong passion of members of the board who are actively working to promote business development ideas and marketing concepts. The organization has spent many hours and much of our own funds to improve business relations and communications and have the motivation to make change that you've been seeking regarding non-adult needs. For an organization to come together on its own and spend its own money, to me that speaks pretty loudly about passion of a group of citizens that live in the community. And this is one of those situations where, you know, we shouldn't be turning our backs on people that are ready and willing to help and pitch in or actually doing work. So I don't know, you know, what the result of this will be tomorrow, but if no one else likes this proposal, I would think at least some of those seats on some future committee should be open to your organization. I mean, it seems like that would partially fair when you have people that are already out there. You mentioned some other companies. You have State Bridge behind you. Do you have any other donations or donors?
Actually, today we just received two checks, one from Elegance and one from Gaia, to support the organization. And we have several other businesses that we're going to be meeting throughout the week that are going to be signing on as well.
And in all fairness, we just put the organization together as a nonprofit organization. We're just starting the fundraising efforts.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, we haven't decided on anything this evening. Obviously, there's a proposal in here that I think is the best and, frankly, the most thought out, looking at what people on the inside know to be the problems and attempt to fix it. If this council is going to move forward with something, we've got to be careful that we not throw away the criteria right away. Now, I appreciate what you had to say, Kristen, about some seats being available for some from this organization. I agree. But if you got to lay the passion against the resident, you can be passionate as heck, but if you can't accomplish the goal, the passion doesn't help. And I'm not saying that they can't accomplish any goal. I'm just saying that's part of the reason why we fell into the trap that we fell in over the last so many years. So, you know, the other thing that I wanted to bring up, and it's been bugging me for years, is unfortunately Franklin thinks about in our own little world of Franklin. Very little big picture thinking that goes on. Now, what I'm suggesting here is we talked for years about, Ken, you started this, 27th Street being an international business destination. And then what did we proceed to do? Go into our own myopic little view of what businesses we wanted there as opposed to what businesses should we go out and get. So we need people that have the contacts that can do that. That's key to us being a successful community, and we have always had that. And so we need to get that back.
Your Honor?
Kind of interesting. I said earlier, I'm not so sure that I would qualify if I put my resume forward because my background is labor relations and human resources. I have had some time as an elected official, so it probably would come against me, I'm guessing. It's kind of like, we did have this dream team, there's no doubt about it. Absolutely terrific. Fantastic, and we owe them a lot. In fact, when we defuse the bonds, we have to make sure that every one of those individuals is invited and participates in a very big way with that. But that's one part of economic development. That's okay, you know people. I know lots of people, and you interact with them. You say, Franklin's really a terrific place, and we got all this land and green space and all that stuff. Building something special, and hopefully they contact you. Just interacting with the Greater Milwaukee Committee and others. I'm down there with 165 CEOs from the largest corporations in Wisconsin. A couple of people have come up to me and said, this or that. A couple of things that you've brought me, a group has brought forward, is the idea of a cultural center. Where we can have programs and plays and music. And when I would go out and try and get a Northwestern Mutual to come here or other large firms, that's a huge selling piece. I mean, if you've got that in your community, that's really terrific. You have a community center, senior and youth facilities, sports complex. That's what the businesses are looking for. Now, do you have to have an MBA in order to qualify as an economic development commissioner, or do we think about people like Sue Herman that know everybody in the world and everybody loves them? And it's true, so they do. The guy that's sitting next to, I'm not sure, but and Sue, just having her here puts Franklin on the map, and she goes to all these international conventions and all that hosted in Franklin. So, I don't want us to, whatever we come up with is let's eliminate the people that do want to build a sports complex, that they want to have fairs and have music festivals and all that, because that's really one of the main ingredients for attracting quality businesses. But if you put your resume forward, you may not qualify under the parameters of whatever criteria. So, and I think that's, if I looked at the qualifications of other members in the 1,851 municipalities across Wisconsin, I'm going to guess that the general makeup of the members are community activists. People like yourselves that are trying to do this, and then business leaders, bankers, but it's a composite, it's a mix, and the mix all goes out and promotes their city and their community and tries to make it the best possible. So I think that's what you've got here, and I got to tell you, we haven't had a lot of time to take this apart, so to speak, or to have a lot of conversations. You called me today, but we couldn't get back to you. But I think it's very interesting.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have a quarrel with the majority of what you've had to say. It is true that those amenities would be helpful in attracting businesses to the city. But I hope you weren't suggesting that the Economic Development Commission's job is to go build a community center or a sports complex, because frankly, that's not helping us get to the 70-30. If we can't focus, if we cannot focus on going to get some business, as Steve would say, blow it up. Because
Just one.
I got a little passion for this, guys. I've been doing it for years. I know it works. You can sit around and mamby-pamby and talk about all of this stuff. Do what works. Quit being political about it, and let's not talk about individuals in front of them when it's not appropriate.
Alderman, up until we had this recession where John McCain suspended his campaign and Barack Obama suspended his, because they were shocked, and they flew back to Washington. Up until that time, we were literally so busy with development that the staff was running around here on roller skates trying to manage it. So, you know, let's put some things in perspective. In fact, I think there were numerous articles about Franklin being one of the most growing, fastest growing communities in Wisconsin. What we have had happen has happened to every municipality in America, and that's that we've had a recession. Now, there are some lights at the end of the tunnel that I'm seeing as far as businesses and the involvement. In fact, I told a business today to contact an alderman because they are interested in coming to the city. Housing market is probably not there, but, you know, if you go back and you look at the last 20 years or so on Franklin and its growth, we have to put impact fees in place to slow down development. That's how fast we're growing. So, you know, the Economic Development Commission, CDA, everybody is really doing a very, very, very good job. And the first parties that talked about the abolishment of the Economic Development Commission was not these elected officials up here. It was a study that was commissioned by the Common Council, studied all the boards and commissions in the city, that Rupert Milkey came back and said abolish the Environmental Commission and abolish the Economic Development Commission. That wasn't chaired at that time by Alderman Skaronski. And quite frankly, I don't know who it was chaired by. And many of the members that are on the Economic Development Commission were not on that commission at that time. In fact, many of them were some of the members of the Dream Team. But, you know, let's put things in perspective. It's, one, the city was developing at such a pace that we could hardly stand it, we could hardly manage it. And two, when we reached out to get professional consultants, they came back with their recommendations, and one of them was to abolish the Economic Development Commission. It had nothing to do with the current membership of that Economic Development Commission today. It was actually when there were Dream Team members on there. So I think you have a very, very interesting proposal, and we should take some.
If I may.
I almost called you Alderman.
Well, thank you. I do have 2 points. First of all, our board can seat up to 15 members. We currently have 8 board members. If the council decides to support our proposal and work with us, which we are very open to working with you, that would bring it up to 10 members. There's still up to five vacancies. And if there is concern about qualified individuals, I know we can easily reach out to people that would be willing to sit on our board and to work on these plans. And the other point is, I think that's a major issue that I think perhaps the council's missing the boat on, is economic development in a community is not solely focused on bringing in a Macy's or a Target or a Northwestern Mutual. You know, there is economic development that is related to sports complexes. There are sports complexes popping up all over the country, literally. We have examples from Tennessee to Texas to Virginia to Florida to California. I spoke recently with the president of Visit Milwaukee, and he was formerly in charge of a major development, a sports development project in or near Miami, Florida. And he said once that came and once that was built, that was the largest economic boom for that community and that metropolitan area they've seen in years. What I think people negate is they're not seeing the potential that these complexes bring in and these proposals bring in. You bring in national tournaments, you bring in regional tournaments, you bring in kids from, in this case, you probably bring in kids from Chicagoland to Minneapolis coming to Franklin. That's going to require more hotels. That's going to require more restaurants. That's going to require more retail in areas that are zoned commercial. And right now, the proposal or the proposal that we're most well known for right now at Fermain Park is on parkland. Actually, technically, it's zoned agricultural at the moment, but it is basically doing nothing. And I highly doubt the residents in the area would support ripping up that area for a commercial center. So basically, we would be proposing to enhance a park that could enhance the nearby business park down the road, that could enhance Highway 100 in general from 27th Street corridor all the way to 76th and Highway 100, which actually is part of the Franklin First Report, if I'm not mistaken, as a basically a major intersection that the city should focus and redevelop and really make it into a huge commercial hub. That is humongous. And, you know, I think that could be, you know, something that the city should focus on. And I think that's something that we already have a grasp of and that we have been actively working on for the past year now. Quietly. Now we're gaining a lot of momentum. So.
Alderman Taylor and Alderman Schmidt.
Greg, in your letter, you talk about organization wishes to remain somewhat independent of political and potential hurdles of government. Come up politically, also political relationships.
Potentially, yes.
Correct. You have a blog.
Yes.
I read that blog. There is some very political things on there. How are you going to distance yourself from that? If you're suggesting that this is going to maybe take place at the EDC, and I would think that if I'm a business, and if I was reading some of that stuff on there, I may not want to do business with this organization or donate money to this organization. Are you going to continue that if we would say, you know what, this isn't a bad idea? I'm not saying that I support this. I don't know enough about it. I'm just not talking about it. But that, to me, is a hurdle because you are very opinionated, which I think is great. I mean, I am too. But if you're trying to be non-political, some of the things that are written are not that way. They are very political. So I'm just something to consider. Don, I'll ask you that at some point.
Fair enough. And Steve, to answer your question, which I think it was kind of hidden, if the city was willing to look at this option and if it was required of me to shut down the blog for the betterment of the community, I would do it in a heartbeat. That to me is, I guess the passion and the love for Franklin to me tops writing a blog. And if the blog was an issue, it's deleted, done.
And don't get me wrong, I think a lot of what is said, a lot of what you write, provides a community news that they normally don't get because we rarely have someone from the journal. I know we do tonight, but rarely do we ever have anybody from the journal. I can't recall seeing a Franklin Citizen person in this building. And so you do a very good job with your calendar and promoting certain events. And so I'm not necessarily saying that shutting it down would be the option. I'm saying there's got to be some oversight on it because you could offend potential people looking at this community based on positions that you take because some of what you write is very opinionated, like an editorial. And that's what a lot of these blogs are. You know, I bring in proposals, okay, and I have certain aldermen's biggest supporters work for months to tear them down. That's, we know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to continue any further. So I think it's very important that we be aware of if this is the path that we go to take out some of that political undertone.
Steve, I think that's a very fair point to make, and I'm more willing to cut back on the editorial comments if that's a circumstance. I've reached out to thousands of residents on a daily basis. I know the Facebook page in itself is topping 1,000 now, and a lot of people have a lot of positive things to say. Actually, that was part of a recent Facebook poll, which is included in our resume, per se, to you guys. It achieved over 2,500 hits in less than a week of people wanting to see restaurants, not here in Franklin, per se, but Southridge Mall. And Southridge is, right now, Franklin's shopping destination, and I highly doubt that there's going to be a duplicate Southridge built in Franklin anyways.
See,
so,
and I'm going to be clear again that I would not ask you, my one position, to shut it down, because I think it does have a really good role in this community. I mean, I read it you know, every day, a number of times I'll check on to see what you put out there, because you know, you were talking about things that this community is looking for. I followed your poll on, you know, the restaurants or South Virginia Map. Mm-hmm. You know, there just may have to be at some point a editor board before you release something of people saying, this may not be the way to go.
Fair enough.
I don't care if there's stuff out there that goes after me. That's not the concern. The concern is if there's issues or stances that are taken that could offend some of the business community. That would be the biggest concern that I would have.
Fair enough.
Like, you know, ripping apart, let's say, a restaurant in this community.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Schmidt and Alderman Wilhelm.
Greg, first I'd like to commend you and your group for the initiative that you've taken here. Obviously, put a lot of thought and work into this.
Thank you.
You create another avenue for us to consider, and I think it does relate to that passion that everyone is looking for. I think overall, in the past 30 days or so, between Alderman Taylor and myself and others, that there's been a lot of positive discussion towards the future of our economic development. I think everybody is looking for a positive outlook that we can grow as a community. So I think everything that's been covered has all been very positive, creating a meaningful solution. I was impressed with the latest alternative for the CDA that was put forth tonight, and I could see possibly maybe a quasi-public-private organization because of the people that you already have on board supporting you. It looks to be a very positive mode of cooperation, and so I would hope that we can reach some kind of resolution that we can continue to move forward with the possibility of these two organizations.
Well, the last word you just said about cooperation and merging the two together, I thought, well, that would be great. I think we should stick these two commissions together, and we've got these two sitting on. And then you get cooperation between the two of them. I'd say we're doing pretty well until they ran against each other. That would be kind of cute.
I can work with Greg.
I know you can. I totally agree with that. That's the kind of cooperation that I think we need to have. So, but you know, you talked about your blog, and I recently joined, and you had about 900 and some Facebook.
988 now, I believe.
I clicked on it right around the 900 point. So it's been out there for quite a while. And people don't usually click on something and join onto it unless they think that there's a reason or some value or something they want to read more. And so to me, that tells me that regardless of the differences, opinions, and things you've been blogging about, there are people on board with hearing what you have to say, whether they agree with it, and there are people that don't agree with what you say. But I think it's good to have those differences of opinions. And I think that's what I was talking about, respecting the difference of opinions, whether you agree with them or not. And I think your method is modern. It's modern and much more in line with the future of where things are going than anything this city has done. I mean, using the Twitter and the Facebook and all of those type of things are things that other people have been doing and are doing that I don't see the city doing. So whether it's you or whoever, I think that we have got to get on the ball and be more modern. And maybe you can help us get there. Maybe that could be part of the goal and working with these different options, because just sitting there and having written thing about an economic development commission, you know, going to meetings and talking is not the way of the future. It's just not.
Well, and to perhaps expand on your point, Alderman Wilhelm, I think the other part too is coming down to the taxpayers. You know, the Economic Development Commission, you know, it's already been mentioned that the city is going to need marketing and the city is going to need new plans and to somehow rebrand itself, so to speak, to the world, literally. Our organization, in effect, is kind of doing our own kind of marketing plan right now. Granted, it's a lot smaller, but we're very flexible. We can always expand and grow, and basically make it a lot bigger. The city came on board. Maybe we team up and do the city's marketing plan. Now, granted, we would need some funds, like the other proposals would need some funds. But I guess what I'm getting at is our proposal or our board, we have a lot of qualified people. We can get additional qualified people, in my opinion. And we can do it for a lot less, I believe. You know, we have several people on our board and advisory board that are marketing people. Their profession is marketing. Tara is a project supervisor at Kramer Crisalt. Sue Northey was formerly a senior vice president at Kramer, which is a national marketing and ad firm based in downtown. But Sue branched off, and now she works for Brannigan Communications downtown, and she actually is a professor at Marquette for advertising. So they have a handle on that. Our architect, Mike Soto, he's on the board. He's the one that's producing plans for us pro bono, no cost associated with that. And actually, I've been in contact with several school board members where they were, you know, basically saying, wow, you guys are getting a lot of stuff done for nothing. And right now the papers are reporting that the school district was going to go out for bid to hire an architect. Why are public bodies hiring all these people when there are more than qualified individuals in Franklin who care and love the city and want to do something for the city for nothing? And this is, you know, taxpayer money that's going out the window when it should be used for other purposes, in my opinion. So,
well, I think that as far as your differences, opinions, and your blog issue, that having the Savage who's sponsoring your website didn't seem to prevent him from making a donation and the other organizations that you mentioned. And so, you know, maybe there is a little something to be a little bit more politically savvy or whatever about that. But certainly, people like it. People apparently are clicking on it, and you know they like to hear opinions. And well, not everyone has to, like I said, you're not all going to agree.
So, oh yeah, I mean we have, you know, politicians, business owners, business leaders. If I'm not mistaken, even Julia Taylor herself is a fan of Franklin Today. So, you know, we have a very, you know, I have a very wide range of people who are interested in the opinions. And I, like I said, I've received no personal complaints on that, but it is what it is. And if that does become an issue, I fully understand. And I still think Alderman Taylor brought up an excellent point about that. And if that is an issue, I'm more than happy to modify or delete
if necessary. You won't have time.
Exactly.
And if I could add one additional point, if possible, we talked about establishing a 70-30. We need to try to provide the facilities, the amenities to the city of Franklin that attracts not only the citizens and maintains the citizens in the city of Franklin, but that's also going to attract the good businesses to our city. And if we don't have the residents sticking around because we're losing them for one reason or the other, that's going to affect our business community as well. So I feel they all intertwine together. In addition, as an organization, we are physically door-to-door to these business owners to promote our effort, what we're trying to accomplish, and that is going to help attract some good people to our EDC or to our organization for the betterment of the city as well.
Alderman
Olson. Getting real nervous that we've got a citizen in front of us who we're talking about abridging his First Amendment of an appointment for a city opportunity. You can be frowning about it all you want, Steve, but that's exactly what you're asking him to do. Now, I would expect that out of maturity and his own sense of fair play, he would edit his own thing, but I don't think it was very wise of us to be sitting here telling Craig he's got to shut down his block if he wants to work with the city.
Alderman Taylor?
I did not say he has to shut down his block, Alderman Olson. All right? He jumped to that conclusion himself, and I came and said that is not exactly. But you have to be aware of what is written. People pay attention to.
Steve, you have your own blog.
And yet, you don't see me taking positions that are very political.
Six years.
Watch your next one here. I'm coming. Yeah.
You, please address the chair.
I'm at
it.
That's right.
With all due respect, we come in front of you as business owners, as citizens, to try to develop and improve our city.
Here's my question to you. Obviously, some of us that have authored plans, like the one that I've had out there for a couple of years, I'm still fond of. And part of the reason I'm fond of it is because in this city to our east, they just happen to have everything under the Community Development Authority, and from all the comments I hear, how come we can't do more like what Oak Creek is doing? And I think Oak Creek's tax base is at 60-40 right now. I'm kind of fond of my idea, and I'm also fond of it because the premise for it came out of a joint meeting where Mayor Bollinger came to one of these meetings and talked about putting together an entity to manage the 27th Street corridor. And why are we looking at an entity? Because just like Greenfield and Milwaukee did and hundreds of other communities, they created bid districts, and they brought all the businesses in, and they brought the buy-in from them. And so they seem to have been able to do that under the Community Development Authority. My thought was, if you can get the two Community Development Authorities together and then have the entity underneath it, that would help a great deal to manage the six-mile corridor, which equates to about five large business parks. And some of the things that we're going to have coming in, I don't know if they're going to be quickly or not, are going to involve millions and millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars. And those types of decisions need to be put into an atmosphere like the CDA can provide. Now, I think when, and Alderman Taylor and I have talked about this, but I think when Alderman Taylor brought in his first proposal, I think that if the language had been that the Common Council will determine when the CDA should work independently versus the CDA acting as the economic development umbrella, I feel like that may have enjoyed more success than it did. Because there is, clearly there was a fear of the CDA from years past, but my recollection of that had more to do with the members of the CDA, not the CDA itself. That council, including me, was worried that some of the CDA members weren't listening to what they want to have done. The DiMattia issue came to the forefront. That was the one that sort of broke the camel's back. But it was primarily because the council perceived a couple of the members of the CDA not listening to them. Having said that, you've heard some of the dialogue from when Joe Haslow was up here. And Alderman Taylor has a proposal to place this under the CDA with then creating a seven-member commission that normally would be the Economic Development Commission. Question is, would your organization be willing to work with the current members of the Economic Development Commission to, maybe it wouldn't be seven, maybe it would be 10 or 12, and then work with the CDA, given that the city attorney, and I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but basically saying you need to do a little bit more research on them about whether you can disband the CDA or not disband it. Is that something that would your organization do?
I don't see why that would be a problem. We'd be more than happy to do that.
Okay. That's all I've got. Thank you very much, and I appreciate it. I know that you're a very busy guy. You were number one real estate guy.
For many, many years. 21 years under Perfection Plus Real Estate here in Franklin. I've lived in Franklin for 24 years. So we have sold many, many, many homes in Franklin.
Well, I'll tell you, if you're going to hang around with the Hermans, I don't know. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Follow you.
So, motion to adjourn?
Second.
For a second?
Second.
So moved second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say motion carries.